Okay, it's recording. We have noted that one of the lectures didn't actually become manifest on the sheet, even though it's there on the listing. So somehow or other, we'll make it readable. I'm not sure how, but somehow we will. That was the one that was, I think, taken off of my telephone. Should have worked, but it says that MPA4 or 4A. I don't know what that means.
It's a modified file type.
What happens if I just stick a different MP4 number on it? Just put MP4. What will happen?
I'm not sure, but I can...
We can make a copy of it and change it.
You can probably convert it into just a regular MP4 and it should work fine.
That's what I think, too. But then again, I'm wildly optimistic when it comes to computer stuff sometimes. Okay, we have been talking about performance appraisal. Did I talk to you about any of the methodology? If you turn back a page, Isaac, turn back a page. Did I talk to you about any methodology there? Did I talk to you about motorcycles?
I didn't see.
Apparently, I talked to you about motorcycles.
I didn't see.
Oh.
I was way too distracted.
By motorcycles?
No, but...
Something else. Well, that's called living, I guess. I mean, after all, we had a granddaughter with an earache all weekend. And we got constant updates in the pictures. Each one, she's crying even harder. It was not good to see these pictures. Is this stuff any good, this red apple stuff?
No, awful.
Is there any apple in it, or is it all...
It's mostly apple juice.
It's
apple juice with a little bit of alcohol.
What's the actual content? Do they add a lot of sugar?
No, it's fine.
There's a box here.
That is my box.
Is it empty?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why
did you bring an empty box for it?
What a shame.
It's for a stupid class. My other stupid...
Wait, how much percent is it?
Calm major.
Communication?
The Wicked Outlaws is 8.
Okay.
I think Johnny Appleton.
Well, they've done a great marketing job. They have completely dominated every outlet. And by the way, if you're looking to buy beer, don't go to Food Lion. It's got the worst beer selection I've ever seen in my entire life. If you're looking to buy apple juice or whatever that stuff is, they're long on that, very long on various forms of apple juice. But in terms of actual beer, if you want to move past Bud Light, it isn't there.
So we're talking about performance appraisal.
We just happened to go to Food Lion, so I took a look. We go every couple years. It used to be right here in town, very conveniently located. But then they had their problems and had to move.
All right, so we're talking about performance appraisal.
And as I pointed out to you, of course, performance appraisal is set in such a way as to help the company achieve its goals by distilling quantitative aspects of the goals back into individual performance level. Right? If you say so, Dr. Powers. And I do. So what we're looking at here then is taking back, here's our goal out here, quantifying components of the goal and taking them back and assigning it to the individual under a level of performance required out of the major responsibilities in general speaking. So a certain standard is required of the employee for that major responsibility in order to expedite goal achievement. All right, so all is good in that sense. But I promised you, and I'm sure you're going to hold my feet to the fire on this, that I'm going to talk to you about the two different. That's stupid to put different. Why would I put different there? Two ways to do performance appraisal. Which are both fairly common. The first one more common than the other ones. You know, I have these same door handles in my house. The exact same. I put them on all the doors. I replaced all the doors. I put these handles on. So every time I see one, I think, it feels a little bit better than the first one. Maybe if I had a screwdriver, I could take the handles off the doors here at school, take them home, put them on my doors, bring my somewhat shittier handles in, and put them on here, and who the hell would ever notice? Nobody.
Is that on recording?
Yeah, it's on recording. It was all a story I was just telling students. It couldn't happen. All right. So what we're looking at here is this concept to maximize goal achievement. There are two ways to do it. The most common way that this is done is through a system that you're most likely going to see, known as graphic grading scale. By the way, our next midterm's on the 13th. Did I tell you that already? Well, we can't do it, Dr. Vox. 13's unlucky. It's a devil's number.
Is it Friday?
Should be a
Thursday.
I believe it's a Thursday. I like to have the tests over the weekend so that I can, you know, look at them and spend a little time shooting them rather than the usual toss at the stairs routine. So, graphic rating scales. Here's how graphic rating scales look. Down the side here, we have a list of the major job responsibilities. Major job responsibility, 1, 2, 3, down to N. This is applied to, I had that in a math class in my MBA program. I don't think I was joking or just plain ignorant. The professor is going through some discussion of some relationship with equations, and there's a bunch of letters in it, of course, no numbers. And the kid raises his hand and says, Dr. X, does this apply to all letters in the alphabet? It's the kind of question I'm still trying to figure out what the hell this guy was saying. Does this apply to all letters in the alphabet? Whatever. Well, we have N. 1, 2, 3, 4, and, well, 1, 2, 3, and N. These are the major responsibilities running across this way. Vertically here, we have some sort of measure for occurrence frequency. And, of course, the occurrence frequency would be the standard to which it needs to be achieved. So if they have here never, sometimes, often, and then it wouldn't be often. It would be something sort of in the middle, maybe. I don't know. Often. And always. So they might consider this to be the standard, often. And they would look at the major responsibilities and put down, right, where the person X, and X for this. Those would be where they observed the employee's performance as falling on these major responsibilities. But Dr. Fox, how can I keep track of all this information in my little pea brain? Because you're keeping notes on this, right? You're keeping notes on each EE's job performance on the major responsibilities, of course. So you can refer to that, which you probably ought to do on a reasonably frequent basis. Part of the job of being a good supervisor is knowing what your employees are doing. And then, right, giving a performance appraisal, which is an accurate interpretation of what they're doing, so that you can determine whether they're not at the necessary standards for performance, so that we can determine whether or not the goals are going to be achieved. It all just plays out like a string that you're pulling on. Good enough. Now, from that point of view, if you find out that this is the standard and we're below on this measure and this measure, then you would be encouraging the employee to change those measures and perform to at least standard. And that might require some kind of training, some kind of motivational component, whatever it might happen to be, to get them up to standard performance. Everybody's with me on this, right? Yes, Dr. Fox. We're totally on top of it. Good. So, in one form or fashion, you're going to see something like this in the job. Because when you do get a performance appraisal done, it's probably going to be a mutation of this graphic rating scale. The graphic rating scale is just ubiquitous in some form or fashion. Okay. How loudly should I yell, don't fall asleep? Really loudly?
Or
just sort of half loudly, or not loud enough to disturb anybody.
Loud as you can.
Speaker falling asleep next door, too.
We hear their music all the time.
Or just open that door a crack.
No, go yell at them.
Go yell at them.
Yeah.
Stay awake, damn it. All right, so the graphic rating scale, ubiquitous, you'll see it everywhere, you'll be exposed to it, it'll have different components, they have different stuff up here, this may be, you know, 10, 20, 30, whatever, all the way up through there. Just mutations of the same thing. The second methodology is known in a more exciting fashion as BARS. Now that's a pretty exciting name for a graphic rating scale, for a rating scale form. This stands for, as you might imagine, standing for something, behaviorally anchored rating scales.
Can you repeat that, please?
Behaviorally anchored. Take a guess at what the R is.
Rating
scale. Please note, you got that down? Everybody got that down? Please note that the R, circle the R, is rating and not ranking. What was ranking? Do you remember? When we compared what? Employees to each other. Ranking is not helpful. It doesn't apply to the standards, right, that we're trying to achieve. So we have here a rating scale where we're comparing each individual employee to a standard for a major responsibility or whatever, using major responsibility. So it's a graph, it's a rating scale. This is a graphic rating scale. Right? We're not comparing employees and ranking. So behaviorally anchored rating scale, and here's what it looks like. It's my favorite thing to use in terms of performance appraisal processes because it's non-confrontational and it's just a straightforward process by examination, basically. What you have here is page after page. The number of these pages would correspond precisely to the number of major responsibilities that that particular job entails. Okay. So there are the 1, 2, 3, 4 pages artistically rendered, really very accurate. And what we have then is the first major responsibility. Let's just say files, office, budget, each month. Okay, files, the office budget, the office budget each month. And here's what this sheet's going to look like in the lower two-thirds or so. Maybe something along this line. These boxes have writing in them. See the writing?
Yes, Dr. Fox, we do. We can tell you're related to famous artists.
Okay, so what we have then is writing within the boxes. The writing is ways that the major responsibility could be carried out. Got it? So, and they have a name. These boxes are called critical incidents. Critical incidents. Cool. And for filing the office budget, here this top one, the critical incident might read like this. Filed on time, good detail, neat, usable. Okay, so that's what the critical incident might say at the top. At the bottom, what do you think it says?
Not filed.
not, and not. Exactly. It's a big mess, it's not on time, it has crappy detail, and it's not neat. Exactly. Pardon?
Sounds like the way they grade English papers.
Really? Huh. So, what we're looking at here then is an escalation from poor to so-so to pretty good to good. And they might have a line drawn here, okay, by standard, below standard. So you have this drawn up for each of the major responsibilities. Here's another major responsibility, which I'm not going to belabor with you by pulling it out and showing you that one. There's another, again, ditto, and a fourth one, ditto. So what we have to get it all is from this example. So we have these sheets filled out ahead of time based on our observations of the employee over the past X months from the time of the last performance appraisal. And they trundle into our office and sit down, and we talk to them. Now, as I mentioned to you before, this is not your chance to berate an employee so that you feel better about yourself. This is a chance for you to help the employee improve themselves so that the company does better. That's your goal here. This is not some sort of purging of your emotional problems. This here instead looks at what this employee can do in order to improve their performance to ultimately help the company achieve its goals, obviously. So as they're talking to you here, you're showing them what's going on in terms of what we see them doing, right? Let's say this one, and what they need to be doing, which would be this one. And what's the advantage of the behaviorally anchored rating scales? To me, the advantage is the critical incident. The people can see what's going on. They see what they're doing, and they may question it about that in a minute, and they see where they need to go in terms of actual on-the-job behavior in order to get a higher performance appraisal rating. Does the company want them to improve? Yes. Why? Because it helps us achieve our goals appropriately. Below standard is a straw on the camel's back toward not getting there in time. So we want them to get better. We take information that we have gathered about them to fill this in, and we can talk to them about it. I mentioned it before. So here's what we saw you doing when the office budget was filed over the last several months. We saw that you got it in on time, but you started it somewhere around between 4 and 5 minutes before it was due. Consequently, the actual content was not so good. But it was on time, it was readable, it was new, it was neat, and it was hardly usable. So we gave you that. Really, one below that probably would have been better. But in any case, you get the idea. We have concrete points that we've observed the employee doing. They can see that they did this behavior. They can see what they actually did within the critical incident that failed to meet standard in this case. And it shows them what they need to do in order to achieve the standard. That's good. Because you want concrete things that you can show the employee. I mentioned to you before that employees want numbers. They want concrete examples of what they need to do to improve their performance. And you need to do that. This is not going to be an argument session. Okay, so now you say to the employee, you see the difference between these two. And they say, well, I thought what I was doing was really pretty useful because I got all this information from the mail clerk that brings the mail by, and they told me what they thought was going on, and I put that right into the report. And you would suggest a better source of information for the various things that need to be reported here. So we're looking here to mutually move this employee up, right, which helps the company. We're not looking to make you feel better about yourself. We're not trying to protect the dog at home that's going to receive a couple kicks if you nice to this employee. So instead, try to focus on what needs to be accomplished. All right, so then what do? What we have then is a list of employees who, let's just say here, three have been above standard, they're not a problem, then two that are below. And now we apply what I was talking to you about before. We look at the people who are below standard and determine whether they need a motivational change, or they need some sort of training to help them do this better.
People that are above the standard?
The people that are below the standard. The people that are above, what are we going to do with them?
Keep
motivating them, give them a reward, recognize what they've done. Be sure to recognize what they've done.
Would we ever use them to help people who may be below the standard?
Why not? We can have some sort of mentoring process if it seems to be appropriate. It's, in my opinion, certainly a good thing. Mentoring has generally been proven to see, be worthwhile. I'm curious to see if anybody uses this stuff. It has absolutely no beneficial purpose for you.
I do every day when I walk into class, but it's like a chunk on it and spray it on your shirt.
Yeah. It's not beneficial. It kills the useful bacteria on your hands and skin. There is useful bacteria in your skin. And it doesn't do anything to protect you from viruses, obviously. But if you happen to have a Coke, with you, you drinking Coke? A couple shots of this and straight alcohol. Just mix it in with your Coke. I mean, look at the high the alcohol content, 63%.
You might have to
filter. That's the standard proof there. I mean, that's what's that?
126.
Yeah. We're talking about a belt here. This is what it's good for. Huh? That'll do it.
People who are addicted to alcohol, even they go like the hospital and stuff, and drinking alcohol and canned heat,
you know, the stuff you use to heat meals and stuff, to bring that out and drink that.
Prison, or rubbing alcohol to pieces of bread to filter it out and drink it. Maybe it's a prison.
same difference. Watching TV and being in prison are roughly the
you're
same.
Okay.
So the purpose here then is to distinguish between employees. Have you heard people say, "Oh, we like to treat people the same"? My opinion is that you do not, in OT, want to treat employees the same. Our company is not going to go anywhere if you treat the employees the same. Because if you treat them all the same, that means that they'll all get equally rewarded. Even those that are doing crappy performance versus those that are doing good performance, they'll all get the equal reward. So, what does that say from an equity theory point of view about the person who's doing a good job for the company?
Pay them more.
Well, what's going to be their response, I mean? They see Harry over there, no, I won't say that. Harry doing nothing, right? Getting the same reward as they're getting for busting their tuchuses. So what's going to be their response? Screw this, I'm not busting my tuchus anymore because I'm not getting rewarded for the extra work that I do. And this is a normal human response. So if you treat everybody the same, what happens? Well, the bad apples are happy. The good apples are unhappy. Guess who has the greatest potential for job relocation, let's say, leaving the company? The crappy employee or the good employee? The good employee can take off to another job, leaving you with a barrel full of crappy apples. Exactly. So what we're looking at here is a bad procedure. Well, why do supervisors say, well, we like to treat everybody the same around here? Why do they do that and give people roughly the same pay increases and the like? It was on NPR this morning. Why do they do this?
Keep conflict down.
Yeah, keep conflict down. We don't like conflict. We're afraid of conflict, right? We don't want. But should there be conflict here? No, because you're explaining to an employee what you documented them doing. They can't argue with that. And you can show them what they need to be doing. Can't argue with that. You get up to that point where you're above standard, and there's going to be a cornucopia of guilt flowing your way. Hallelujah. There's not too much to argue about there. Below standard, you just say, I've got nothing against you. You're a good worker. Just clean up this stuff that we're talking about on the performance appraisal, and we'll move you up to the highest critical incident there, and this, all these good things will flow your way. Not too much of an argument there, especially if everything's clearly documented shown. All right, so then, in that case, either one of these allows us to move ahead with rewarding good employees, and hope creates a motivational component for the lower performers to change to be better, because they see that people that do better get more from the company. Whereas they see everybody in the company gets the same amount, nobody's going to be particularly inspired to do better. This brings us to a particularly sore point of my discussion here. You'll hear managers say, well, and I've heard it here in the department with a certain chair we had some years ago, a number of years ago, who told me that when it came to merit pay increases for the faculty in our department, there really wasn't much money available, and so we gave all faculty the same amount, which was like $300 pay raise for the year, something pathetic. What's my response? I like it here too much. But it's definitely demotivational, because what you see is, in this situation, even with a limited amount, let's say they had 35 cents to allocate across 30 employees. Should you allow it all, allocate it all the same? It's not much, so we're giving everybody a penny for their annual wage increase.
Almost open. So those you try.
Because what are you leaving out? Obviously the cash is basically insulting. We've had no pay raise here at ASU in 6 years. Instead, what we have here is another component that needs to be addressed. What's the other component? What's the other thing? Do you really think a gold star is useful to a kid? Does the gold star have any kind of purchasing value? Can you go down to the store and say, I want to buy, when you're 8 years old, and say, I want to buy a case of Red's alcoholic crap, and here's my gold star to buy it with? Is that going to work? No. What is that gold star? Especially when your mom sticks it on the refrigerator.
Motivation.
So no matter how much or how little money is available, it's got to be allocated based on performance. I don't give a crap if they say everybody's getting a cost of living allowance, COLA, right, cost of living allowances, because of inflation, blah, blah. Not me. I'm not giving somebody a cost of living allowance if they were a crappy employee, if I have any choice in the matter. I'm taking that money and giving it to the high performer. That's just the nature of it. I want that person to be rewarded. There's no incentive pay, but there is cost of living allowance. And not for me, there isn't. It's all incentive, yeah.
What would you use to, like, compare professors here, though, like, to see who's better than another one, per se?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, in the past, I've been on committees where professors they looked at the student evaluation of their what they anticipated to get in the class, was an A uniformly across the class. What does that tell you about the professor? My opinion is he's too easy, or she's too easy. That's my opinion, and I wouldn't give that person a reward. We use student evaluations. It's reasonably important. Also, publications are obviously extremely important. That's really right up there with student evaluations, maybe even a little above. And then service to the university and the greater community. So those become the standard. So what do they want to see, for example, standard in teaching? They don't want students complaining to the dean. That's a really good sign that you're not doing very well. If the students go in and complain to the dean that you're a real jerk, then there's a problem. So far, so good. Mostly I just wait outside the dean's office, and if I see any of my students looking like they're angry and coming to the dean's office, I give them $10 and they can. That's the only way I can do it. I mean, otherwise I would have been out of here 25 years ago. So there's that issue. The student's evaluation is high and valuable. Publications, all you can do is just, you know, as a professor, you just keep writing. Keep writing, keep publishing, and hope for the best. It ain't easy. And then the service is just committees and stuff around the university. That's cool. So that's how we're evaluating. It's all pretty much the standard. They expect a certain level of teaching. They expect a certain level of publication, and they expect a certain level of service within the university and outside of the university. So it's pretty much graded. Yeah.
If you get to the point where all of your employees are above the standard, do you have to increase your standard?
What do you think? That's a real good question. What should you do?
Definitely.
Should you increase the standard? I'm not saying you shouldn't. Should you change the standard?
Yeah, maybe not by very much, because then it sort of punishes them for doing too well.
Yeah, there's been a ton of stuff written on that since the late 40s. I've read stuff on that almost consistently. But the idea of essentially punishing the high performers by changing a standard, it's an issue. So should you give them more money? Should you give them less money? What should you do? The reality is it doesn't happen. And the reason that that doesn't happen is because there's turnover, and you get new people in. And the new people may or may not be achievers. They may or may not be trained to the job. So there's always going to be bottom fish in this particular situation, in my opinion. And if you look across your professors, have you found some professors to be much better than others?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, it's always going to be the case. And this school selects based on teaching ability, and you're still going to get variability, even in that situation. The part that bothers me, frankly, is that the state isn't giving raises, so the good professors are starting to leave. And that's upsetting to me. 25 professors out of arts and sciences.
Wow.
Two, maybe three out of our department alone. Maybe two, we'll see, and maybe three, but one for sure. One of my very favorites, too. So, we'll see, but you get what you pay for. All right, so thinking about this from the point of view of rewarding employees and improving employees, it's a major consideration. And, of course, we want a good performance appraisal, an accurate performance appraisal, so that we can validate our selection process. Remember, relate our test to future job performance, and we measure that. If we have an inaccurate performance appraisal, we won't be getting a good measure of our selection tool either. And then from the point of legality, this should be accurate, so that the court system will be impressed with how we've gone ahead and done this. It's an extremely important consideration. And I mentioned to you before the standards for legality. Is it in there in your notes? Go back to the last lecture. Standards for legality. What makes a performance appraisal legal? It shouldn't be too far back. One class, maybe two at the most. No? Let me give that to you because it's an important consideration. From a legal point of view, the courts are going to accept your performance appraisal if it's anchored in the job analysis. Right? And we're talking about that in terms of the major and minor responsibilities. So the performance appraisal needs to be anchored in the job analysis. The performance appraisal process should be clearly explained to employees how it works. And it should be discussed with them so we're sure that they understand how it works. Clearly communicated would be the way I used to say it, but it's kind of a loose term. Then we want them to acknowledge that they've read it and understand it, and they sign off on it. Recognizing also that there is a complaint process. I understand that there's a complaint process starting with my supervisor if I'm unhappy, but I've read it, I understand it. So just put down complaint process in there and then sign off. When you have those components in place, then the court's going to accept your performance appraisal. If your performance appraisal is not based on the job analysis, if it's kind of free-floating, we sort of base it on how they look and whether we like them or not, or whether they polished my car last weekend and a few other odds and ends, the courts are not going to accept that. Too much room for bias. So, and we want them to be legal, clearly, from the point of view of discrimination claims. I got fired or wasn't promoted because of my poor performance appraisal, and you can go to court or the mediator, whoever it has to be, and show how it was anchored in the job analysis, standards, this and that. All right, that's good for today. I'll see you all next time. Get your paper started if you haven't already and still want to get the early turn-in bonus.